We're pleased now to be joined by Ed Henry from the Fox News Channel. He's the Fox News chief national correspondent and the New York Times best-selling author of 42 Faith. Ed Henry, thank you so much for joining us on Mornings on the Mall.
Thanks, Vince and Mary. Good morning.
Nice to speak with you. So let's talk about what's going on at the White House. You know, two Fridays ago, it looked like the press might start actually relaxing a little bit. They had this new smooth-talking guy, Anthony Scaramucci, who was going to like make peace with them, is going to be nice to even CNN, everybody. And then, you know, 10 days later, he's gone. Yet somehow the White House feels just a little bit more stable this morning.
Yeah, Vince, he was blowing kisses at us.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that briefing, that's how he ended it. I mean, in all seriousness, you know, I thought he did well in that first briefing. It seemed like things were getting back on track. There was somebody who was, yes, pushing back hard, defending the president, but also realizing that he had to give a little bit with the press and maybe develop a better relationship. And then you're right, it all sort of came apart. So I think moving forward, the best part of this for the president is that it's clear that General John Kelly is showing that he's in charge as the new White House chief of staff. For him, on day one, General Kelly to make clear that he wanted Scaramucci out, I think in the short term, yeah, it looks like a little bit more chaos, what's going on there. But medium term, this suggests that maybe, and I underline the word maybe, they're finally going to start turning the corner.
In the process, Anthony Scaramucci kind of came in like a kamikaze pilot because he knocked out three White House staffers all in the course of a week. You had Michael Short, you had Reince Priebus, you had Sean Spicer, all leaving either because they were fired or in connection to Anthony Scaramucci's presence at the White House. And it seems like this has really cleared the decks for John Kelly to come in and effectively manage what the White House is saying is the entire staff.
Yeah, and number one, the common denominator of those three aides you mentioned is they were all at the RNC before, right? So they're the more establishment folks. This president wants to kind of go back to more loyalists from the campaign, not the people who were kind of on the fence at the RNC. He used to tweak Reince Priebus, the president did, about the fact that last October Priebus was saying, you know, maybe you should get out of the race, Donald Trump, because of that Access Hollywood tape. And so he never really felt like Priebus was fully loyal. Here he had Scaramucci, a very loyal person, but somebody who, as you say, flamed out pretty quickly. I think the point is, moving forward, they now want to get loyalists, but they also want to show that General Kelly, he is now fixing the organizational chart and saying, everything goes through me. Things were very unwieldy before, not just because Reince Priebus didn't fully establish himself as the one man in charge, but in fairness to him, this president didn't really allow Reince Priebus to do that. He was allowing people to wander in and out of the Oval Office, including his daughter and son-in-law. Now we're told that even Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner are going to report to the chief of staff. So if General Kelly really puts that kind of order in there, maybe this White House is going to focus on not just health care, which there's some dispute, you know, as you know, Senate Republicans saying, hey, let's move on, maybe come back to that later, but get on the tax reform and infrastructure, the things he said he was going to do that have been pretty much stalled.
What do you think of the idea of Scaramucci being brought in as the hatchet man? It's what people do in these big businesses. They bring the guy in, and then Trump can apologize for him being the loose cannon. And he cleared the decks, got out the people that President Trump wanted out. Now Kelly comes in, he fires the hatchet man, and he's the good guy. And Scaramucci was in on the whole thing.
Yeah. You know, the only part that I laugh at the end is I just don't think you know, I laugh in the sense of, you know, it's kind of a fun game to play, like who shot who here, and you know, what's the palace intrigue. But I think, yes, this president has a business background, and he probably thought Scaramucci was going to help push Priebus and others out. It does clear the decks, but I just don't think it was all planned out that then Scaramucci was going to dramatically fall himself. I think this president genuinely wanted Scaramucci to be a communications director, because, again, go back to that first briefing. This was somebody who was really channeling Donald Trump in a way that Sean Spicer and others never did.
Right.
And I think if he had his druthers, he wanted Scaramucci to stick around. It just simply didn't work out.
Yeah, he talked about this was his chance to serve. And you don't say that unless you intend to do it for longer than 10 days.
Yeah.
So the White House, you spoke about, you know, health care and tax reform. As we were coming out of the weekend, there was this belief that both the congressmen who are in recess and the White House itself would be pushing tax reform legislation. They may yet do that this week. But it seems like the White House is staying centrally focused on health care. What do you think the legislative priorities are going to be for the White House, and will they match up with Congress in the next 2 weeks?
You're absolutely right, and this is why I think we have to keep their feet to the fire and not just buy this narrative, the new one that I mentioned, which is that, oh, General Kelly's in charge, and now, you know, everybody has to go through him, and everybody's on the same page. Well, wait a second. I mean, I think, as you rightly point out, the president starts the week tweeting yesterday about health care and how they got to go back to it, we should be able to get 51 votes, even though this is the week that, yes, the White House said they were going to focus on tax reform. And I think it's instructive that you've got John Thune and Orrin Hatch and other very senior Republicans up on the Hill saying, no, actually the Senate wants to move on from health care, Mr. President, and we want to go to tax reform, as you said, Vince. So while this White House does want to do tax reform, I think this president has still got a bitter taste in his mouth about the fact that they couldn't deliver on health care. And I think this is another example where, you know, there's a lot of happy talk, as I said a moment ago, about, well, General Kelly's now in charge. Is he really in charge, with also riding herd on the president and the entire White House on what is the message? Don't be tweeting about health care when the message is supposed to be tax reform. And more importantly than tweeting, what are we putting our shoulder behind? Are we putting our shoulder down and saying we're pushing forward on tax reform? Or is it going to be tax reform and infrastructure, a little bit of health care, a little bit of jobs? That gets back also to having a regular communications director who's supposed to be putting the message together, not just the chief of staff. Because if you look at things, Priebus had what, the shortest tenure of any chief of staff. You know, the national security advisor, General Flynn, was the shortest tenure of any national security advisor. Now we've had a string of communications directors, the last one being 10 or 11 days. So, you know, in all seriousness, you got to get some stability here so they can craft the message, but also get the substance, more important than the message, get the substance behind what they're going to do. And tax reform, you know, some on the Hill say is going to be a heavier lift than health care. So this idea that magically, you know, the seas are going to part and they're going to cut taxes, there's a lot of work to be done.
Quick question. We don't have a lot of time. Why can't they do both?
I think that this White House hopes and wishes that they could, but first of all, they don't even have a budget up on the Hill that sort of sets the parameters of the money and where the revenue is coming to pay for tax cuts, for example. And so why can't they do both is A, they don't even have a budget in place to kind of have a framework for all of this, let alone one of them. And B, they haven't proven that they can move forward on health care at all. So, you know, as much as the president and other Republicans want to get it done, they've gone to repeal and replace several times already and not been able to deliver. And so I think there's an anxiousness, not just at the White House, but among these Republicans who are going to face the voters in 2018. We're getting pretty close to, you know, the end of the August recess, even though it's just the beginning of the month, and the end of the year, because Congress is not going to be around much for the rest of the year. You're going to go into 2018 without a major legislative victory unless you get going on taxes.
Ed Henry, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate
Thanks,
your time.
Appreciate
Have a great day. That's Ed Henry, Fox News Chief National Correspondent and New York Times bestselling author of 42 Faith.